ラベッドバーデラベッドバーベッドバーデラベッドバーデラベッドバーデラベッドバー DENNAVB DOBN デラベッドバーデラベッドバーデラベッドバー Yeah
Yeah And also she wanna ask you the who is your MVP of the, this the World Cup andYeah, of course, or the most impressive player in this World Cup. Yeah, of course, we know this MVP of this World Cup is, I think, Dennis Schröder. But, how about from your side?
I think I did vote in the MVP award for the tournament in the end, andI had to vote before the final, so I voted for Bogdan Bogdanovic. I think it was really going to be whoever won that final. I think it was going to be either Dennis Schröder for Germany or Bogdanovic for Serbia. And I think Schröder was the right player, given Germany won the final. But the way that Bogdanovic sort of led a Serbian team that was missing Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
And took them all the way to the final was really impressive. And the way that he did it, he just made it look so easy. He was making all of these really difficult shots, and in an offense that wasn't always flowing all that well, he was still able to make shots and find easy scores when they needed them. So he was very impressive. And and for Canada, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was similar. Obviously, we sort of knew he was good going into the tournament, but the way he just sort of glides around the court and two defenders will come at him and he dribbles through them both without really making it look difficult at all. He just made the whole game look so easy. It was a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And then looking at the question as well from the Japanese national team too.
Yeah.
One that I didn't know much about coming in was Yuki Kawamura. I wasn't aware of him before the tournament. There was sort of, as I say, Tominaga and Yudai Baba and a couple of others that we sort of knew about in Australia. But Kawamura in that game against Finland in particular, the way he just took over in the fourth quarter, you know, he was making threes
over
the top of Lauri Markkanen. He was going to the basket without really any fear at all. He was so much fun to watch. So I really enjoyed him. And I will say as well, Coach Hovas, it really, really impressed me a lot. He seems like a very good leader and a very smart coach. And I really enjoyed every time I got the chance to listen to him talk. So. Players were all really impressive the way they took on some of these bigger countries and won, but Coach Hovas seems like a very good leader for the Japanese program to have for a long time.
Did you join the press conference of the Japanese team as well?
A couple of times, yeah. So just before they played Australia and just after, I was able to sit in on the Japanese press conferences and it was always good to sit and listen to Coach Hovas talk, and I was impressed as well how good his Japanese is. I know he's lived there for a long time, but just to hear him go from speaking in an American accent then straight into fluent Japanese, he's very impressive. But for someone like me who only speaks one language, I was impressed.
How do you think of the which point is which? What can I say? Point is so special for the Tom Hovas? Why do you feel that he's special?
It's hard to put my finger on because it just seems like, you know, I'm there as media, obviously, but I sit there and listen to him talk about the game and talk about his players, and it sort of makes me feel like I want to be out there playing for him. There's just something about him that is is motivating, and and he seems the way he speaks, he seems very passionate, and he seems like he really cares about his players and about Japanese basketball as well. So obviously he's done a lot for the country already, but the way that he keeps on wanting to make Japanese basketball even better, it was just good to hear a coach who clearly cares a lot. I think sometimes coaches treat it as a job, which it is, but he seems to be really passionate about it. So he's just someone that is good to listen to and would be good to play for, I'd imagine. So he just has something about him.
Mm-hmm. How do you think about Brian Goldschmidt? He's so much the different type from the Tom Hobos, you think?
Yes and no. I think he is a little bit different, you know, but in a lot of ways there's some similarities. He's been involved in Australian basketball in different ways for a long time. So in the same way, I think even though he's not from Australia, he has a lot of passion and a lot of care for Australian basketball, and he's been criticized a lot since the World Cup just because of how the Boomers went. But I think he's sort of proven himself to be a very good coach in the past. And I think what can't be questioned is how invested he is in the Boomers and the way that he's built a culture for the Australian team. So I like Brian Goldschmidt. This was the first time I'd had the chance to really hear him speak in depth and ask him questions. And I enjoyed it. It was a good opportunity because he does seem like someone who really cares about what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also agree, and I hope him to get a good result in the next year. I also love him. Yeah. Okay, so next is I think Kumiko-san. She is a big fan of the Kagawa Five Arrows. It's a team where the Reese Baig and Angus Brandt belongs to last season, so that's why we know each other. And she is going to ask about the Japanese B League funds, Japanese domestic league. And B League allows basketball fans to bring their own camera, and some fans also have something like a professional looking cameras. And she said, we guess there is an issue of the portrait rights, but how do you feel about an environment where fans are allowed to photograph freely?
Yeah, it was interesting at the World Cup because even in the media zones, we were told very strictly that we weren't allowed to film parts of the games. So it is interesting, and I hadn't heard that the B League lets you photograph games from the stands. I think that's really good. I think that's cool. I think if fans have the chance to take photos and enjoy the game that way, I think it's something that particularly at that domestic level should be encouraged, because it's another way to get people involved in the game and enjoying the game. So I can imagine that FIBA has very, very strict rules around certain people who have the rights to broadcast and take photos and things like that, which I can understand. But I think it's really cool if leagues have the chance, if they can let fans take photos themselves, because as I say, it's a way to enjoy the game in another way.
Mm-hmm. How about the NBL, how about the Australian League? They also restricted some of the about for the bringing the professional cameras as well.
They do, yeah, similar to FIBA. Okay. I did an interview with a photographer from the Pick and Roll, and he told me about when he was trying to build up a portfolio of photos. Mm-hmm. He had to try and sneak his camera in under his clothes to an NBL game. Because he couldn't get accreditation yet. So, yeah, they're very strict on it here as well, which is a bit of a shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the I think the B League is still the I think the yeah it is going to be huge, but still the very small and still I think the non-popular leagues. That's why the fans were allowed to bring the cameras really, but and I think that it is a good thing, and it is one of the great characteristics of the Japanese league, I think. So, but she also the worry about when the league is getting huge and getting more popular, I think that they are also going to restrict the cameras or something like that. So that's why that she wanna ask you about it. That's why that you're the because you're the media person. So that's why the she wanna know the how the media person think about that. So yeah.
Yeah, it's as you say, as maybe as the B League gets more popular, it might become more strict. And it seems like at the moment the B League is, I don't know how it is in Japan, but the quality of it seems to really be getting a lot better very quickly. So hopefully some of the things like that don't change too quickly as the league improves, because it is it is nice. It's a nice point of difference compared to other leagues in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, do you know the Boomers have a practice game in Japan against France? Yeah, and at the time, I think it doesn't control by FIBA, so we were allowed to bring the camera at that game, so that there are a lot of great photos from basketball fans of the Boomers and the France. So that was a great moment for me.
It's cool to be able to have two teams like that play and be able to create your own memories and take your own photos and come away with something. Not something you get to do too often.
Okay. But I think that this is one of the special points for the B League, I think. Okay. And are you still okay? Sorry for taking a long time.
But, no, that's fine. No, this is good.
Okay. And this is a question from the Daiki-san. He is one of my friend, and he also the fan of the Boomers, and especially the Nikkei. And he also following the Shimane Susanoo Magic is the team where the Nikkei belongs to. And he wanna know about of course Nikkei. And he said the coach Brian Goj appears to think quite highly of the Nikkei. And why do you think the K has such a high reputation from the Brian Goj?
I think it's because it's a little bit because of what we talked about before, how Australia values not just underdogs but people who work hard and maybe aren't as athletic or as skilled as others, but they still just get the job done. And like Delhi, as we said, Nick K is that kind of player. He's smaller than his opponent a lot of the time. He's not a big name, but for a long time for the Boomers, he's just gotten the job done. And I sort of remember, I can't remember which tournament it was, but when Australia played the United States and Nick K was out there defending, you know, he'd spend time guarding a Kevin Durant or, you know, some of the other big names.
I think the practice game in the Las Vegas before the Tokyo Olympics.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, and he just did as good a job as anyone in the world could, I think. And I don't think people would expect him to be able to do that. So I think Gorgon has seen him do that often enough to have a lot of confidence in him, even in those tough situations. So
is he a suitable person to the Brian Gorgon system? I'm not good at talking about the basketball system or something like that, but the Nikkei is one of the suitable person to the system of the nowadays Boomers.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's fit in really well with Gorgon's teams previously, and then at this World Cup there were some moments where he was a little bit off the pace, but
Yeah.
Just because the Boomers were wanting to change to this really high switching defensive style. I in my head, I still think Nick Kay can play a role in that kind of scheme, because for a lot of years for the Boomers and in the NBL in Australia as well, he's shown that he can sort of switch out and defend guards on the perimeter quite well. So even though he struggled against, you know, a really quick guard like Dennis Schroeder,
yeah,
I still think
yeah.
there's a role that he can play in certain matchups and be effective, even as the Boomers change the way they play. And offensively, he's a lot more skilled than people give him credit for too. So I think once the Boomers can get their offense flowing a little bit more with players like Josh Giddey in the system, mm-hmm. I think Kay is the kind of player who can be a bit of a connector and make good passes from the post as well and sort of fit in with that kind of system. So I think he still has a lot to bring to the Boomers, but it'll be interesting to see when Paris comes around whether the coaches feel the same as well.
Mm. Okay. And he also, the Daiki-san also interested in the Nikkei, or the personality of the Nikkei. So if you know another side of the Nikkei that we cannot see when he is on the court, please tell some stories around him.
Yeah, I have to say I haven't had a huge amount to do with Nick Kay, and I don't know too much sort of about his personality, but I think that speaks a little bit to the kind of person that he is. He he seems to like to stay in the background. He doesn't want to be the center of attention. So so that means that, you know, in Okinawa we didn't talk to him much as media, but I think he likes to focus on his basketball and sort of do all of his talking out on the court, which is a good trait to have, I think, especially when you're the type of player that he is, who sort of likes to fly under the radar and be underestimated. He seems like a good teammate to have, because he's so focused on the basketball, he's not going to let anything else distract him. So yeah, I don't really have any fun stories about him, but I think that sort of speaks to the way that he goes about playing his basketball.
Okay. Yeah, good to hear that. Yeah, did you watch the Boomers practice game against France, which held in Japan?
I did. I think that's the one where I saw you on the broadcast in Australia as well. Which that was before we'd met, but I saw you with your banner and I thought, oh, that I think that's Kelly there.
Another Australian people that said to me, you were on the TV on the Australian broadcast. And at that game, the end of the game, the Nikkei left from the court, he took a picture from the with his fans. He is a Daiki-san. So he also the famous
huge
Nikkei fan.
That's good. I was happy to see in Okinawa quite a few Nick Kay shirts and jerseys. So it's
One of them I like definitely Daiki-san, I think.
Yeah, nice. I like that he's made an impression and is popular in Japan, because I like him. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. He's a quite good player. So sometimes I feel the Japanese league is suitable for him or not, but Nikkei was so loved from the Japanese basketball fan because of his personality. Always he tried to be good at the basketball fans and treated like a very carefully and very politely against treated the Japanese fan. So yeah, I have to say that he was so loved from the B-League fans.
Yeah, it makes a big difference when players try to look after the fans and interact with them. And as you say, things like taking photos and everything, it's little things, but it's not many players would do it. So it's good when someone does.
Yeah. Do you know the near the hotel where the Boomers, the players stayed, they have a coffee shop, little coffee shop. I think the name is Zivago Coffee. And
yes.
Sometimes I'd be there and doing my walk, and always the in the morning, the Chris Golding is coming there to enjoy the coffee. And one time that I saw the Nikkei, but he tried to, how can I say, try to let response the Japanese fan and try to sign to the jersey and took a picture against every fans, so he have no time to get a coffee at last. And he's the who I'm not sure the another staff is trying to buy the coffee. So yeah, it is, yeah, it showed how much he is good against Japanese fans, I feel.
Yeah. No, now that you mentioned it, I do remember walking past the hotel and at least once seeing him outside having photos with fans on the side of the road. So it's good to see, and it's a cool environment at a World Cup to have so many players wandering around.
Yes,
and when they're happy to take photos, it's nice.
Yeah, this is something like a dream place for us, for the Boomers,
right? Yeah,
I think. Yeah, and this is the question about the Ben Simmons from the Motama-san. Thank you for the question. And Ben Simmons is one of the Motama-san's favorite players. The Ben has had, as we know, the little national team activity, especially recently, and his chances to play in NBA's recently decreasing due to his injury. But is he still a hero or the popular player in Australia? We actually...
It's interesting with Simmons, the way that people see him in Australia now, because I think people still really like him and like him as a player, because, you know, we've seen how good he's been in the NBA, and we always like to see Australians doing well, sort of in big leagues like that. But the way that his national team career has gone has left some people a little bit unsure about him, just because he's agreed to play for the national team a few times and then pulled out at the last minute. So it's a little bit both ways how people feel about him. But I think still, if he were to come and play for the Boomers at the Paris Olympics, I think he would win a lot of people back over, because I think people in Australia really want to like Ben Simmons.
Okay.
They like him as a player, and he seems like a nice person as well. So I think people want him to be popular. They want to really like him. So if he could come and play at a major tournament, I think it would make a big difference. And personally, I do still really like Ben Simmons. I would like to see him do well, and I think most Australians would agree that we want to see him healthy and back playing basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was so before the Tokyo Olympic Games, the Ben Simmons showed showed a statement about he is not joining that team. After that, the Patty Mills have another statement about Ben Simmons not joining that team. That statement was so impressive, and I was so moved about that. The party always treated him carefully, and always I believe in you, and we are always support you, and we always support your decision if you are coming to team or not. So that was a timing. I feel the Boomers is a great situation for him.
Yeah, and it is hard when Simmons has had so many injuries and so many issues to be too harsh on him for not playing for the Boomers at times, because if he's not at 100%, then he can't play for the Boomers. And as you say, I think that's what Patty Mills and these players recognize, is that there's a lot going on for Ben a lot of the time. He's had a lot of struggles. So they're not going to try and force him to play, and I don't think Brian Gorgian will either, and I don't think anyone will. So yeah, even though fans have at times been frustrated by Simmons not playing for the national team, I think it does say a lot that the rest of the Boomers are happy to support him, and I think that'll make it even better if he can come back and play for the national team. But if he doesn't, then it just wasn't meant to be. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
So next is Noripi-san. She actually I have met Daiki-san in Okinawa as well, but I spent some time with her, the Noripi-san. Noripi-san is a huge fan of the Spurs, and of course also the huge fan of the Patty Mills. So always she wear the Patty Mills, the gold jersey, and sit around a good seat with Boomer supporters, and she is one of my best friends, and she wanna know about the European team. I think in this World Cup, the Boomers have lost twice against the European teams, the Germany and Slovenia, and Noripi-san believe that it will be a big point if we can beat the European team at the Olympic Games as well. So what differences do you think there were between the best European teams and Australia?
Yeah, it's interesting because the European style is quite different. I think for a long time Australia were closer to those European teams in the way they play, in that they played sort of slower, more methodical, lots of ball movement. But as time's gone on, now the best Australian players are all in the NBA, and even the players that are in the NBL is a lot higher paced and a lot closer to the NBA as well now. So I think the Australian team now plays a lot more stylistically like Team USA and some of those teams, which makes it difficult sometimes when they play against the European teams, because they are still really skilled, a lot of good passers, a lot of good shooters, and a lot of very structured offense. So I think this World Cup was a tough adjustment period, because the Boomers were trying to change the way they played defensively and change their style. And these European teams have all played together for so long and played the same style for a long time that they were just able to pick it apart a little bit and find the weaknesses as Australia was still figuring out how to play together. So I think hopefully now that Australia has more experience together, these players have played together now, hopefully that will mean there will be less of those gaps to be picked apart by the European teams. But I think some of these best teams in Europe, they're always going to be hard to beat. Because they've got players who can just make shots and make the right plays. So it's always going to be really challenging. And I think Australia's gotten used to the Boomers being one of those teams that has played together for a long time, and all the players know each other very well. So this World Cup was a bit of a shock that wasn't the case anymore. But hopefully they can get back to that point soon.
Yeah, I also feel the same thing. When I watched some of the European team, every players is I think that they are not NBA level player, but they are so much have a lot of skill set. They can dribble well, they can shooting well, and they can yeah, they can go into the easy to go into the paint. So the yeah, we also have the good talented player in the Boomers, like Matisse Thybulle, Josh Green, and Dante or something like that. But yeah, they are great player, but when we compare the how many skill set they have, the European player is much more they can do a lot of things, I think.
Yeah. And I think it was really clear when the Boomers played Slovenia, because everyone was so worried about Luka Doncic, which he's obviously one of the best players in the world. But then when they double teamed Luka and he had to give the ball up to his other teammates, they were all able to make plays as well. They could all make shots from the perimeter or move the ball around until someone got open under the basket. So there's a lot of depth and a lot of skill in these European teams. And as you say, Australia has a lot of talented players, but they just didn't have those players that can do everything, that can shoot and that can all make plays from other positions. So it'll be interesting to see how they can overcome that in the Olympics, because
that's right, yeah,
because the players will probably be largely the same, so how can they use the skills that they do have, which is not the same as the European teams, to their advantage best. I think that's the big challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is also from Noriko-san about the NBL, and since Udai Baba left the league, the Udai Baba once that belongs to the Melbourne United, Noriko-san have less opportunities to watch the NBL. So are there any NBA players to watch out for this season? And she also said except the Delhi. Always I suggest the Delhi, so that's why she said. But do you have any recommended player in the NBL this season?
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a really good NBL season. I think I think so. Very even. Every team looks like they could be really strong. My biased opinion is that the Tasmania Jack Jumpers will be good to watch. That's where I'm from. That's my local team. So I think they're worth watching. But in terms of players, I think there's a lot of players who have the potential to not only go on and potentially play in the NBA, but also to come into the Boomers in the future and play a really big role there. So some young players like Taron Armstrong for Cairns. He's only 20 or 21, but I think he's someone who will one day play for the Boomers and play a really big role. So and be a lot of fun to watch as well. He's a really good passer. He's a lot like Josh Giddeon, that he's tall as a point guard, but can make all these fun passes. So that would be one that I would say would be worth tuning into. And he's also from Tasmania, which is where I'm from. So again, that's probably a little bit biased, but that would be my big player to watch. But it should be a really fun season. There's a lot of good talent here.
Yeah, I was so surprised. I'm also be a fan of the Taron Armstrong during this preseason game, because he also reminds me about Josh Giddey in the NBL. He has a good eye and he has size, and he also try to do his best in the defensive end as well. So I also enjoy the Delhi's the play style is a pass first style. So I also be a fan of the Taron Armstrong. Do you think that he has a chance to be an NBA player as well in near future?
I think so. The big question is his defense, but as you say, he's made progress there already, and you can see that he's willing to try at least. To defend,
right, yeah.
Which I think is the first big step for a young player. So, and his passing, I think, is already at an NBA level. So it's just trying to get the rest of his game to catch up to that. I think he's in a good place to do that. Cairns have a really good record of developing players. and their mm-hmm. coaches are very good with young players. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he made it to the NBA in a couple of years. I think, yeah, he's one of many players sort of in the NBL this year who have a real chance to go on.
I always thinking about why the Australian young players, I think that there are a lot of talented players, but always the recent, especially recently, the Australia has a lot of the, how can I say it, huge and good pass ability, but always they have no confidence about the shooting, like Josh Giddey, Ben Simmons, and recently Luke Travers as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
Why do they have the such same type players recently? Is there the I always thinking about is there any reason around the education phase of the basketball career, something like that?
Yeah, it's strange because as you say, there's just so many players who are exactly the same type. Which is part of the reason why the Boomers are sort of in the spot they're in now, where mm-hmm. they have a lot of talent, but maybe not the right skills to take advantage. As someone, I haven't been involved in sort of the pathways and mm-hmm. the basketball education, so it's hard to say exactly what the reason is. I think it may be the fact that Australia has so many different sports that we're passionate about and that people like to play. So whether people when they're younger are trying to play lots of different sports, and it's not until they get to maybe 13 or 14 or 15 that they decide to focus completely on basketball. So like Josh Giddey, I think until he was a teenager was playing Australian rules football as well. So maybe just having less time to work on those finer skills means that the players, by the time they get to be 18 or 19, they're not quite as good in those areas. But I think that may also be why there's so many good playmakers from Australia, is that they play games mm-hmm. like Australian rules football, where it's a big field and there's a lot of different avenues to goal. So you've got to process a lot of information. I think that's why Australia has all of these good passers and playmakers, because they're used to processing what's happening very quickly and in a very fast-paced game, and that then translates quite well to basketball. So it's hard to say what the reasons are, but there must be a reason that all of the Australian prospects coming through, Giddey, Travers, Taron Armstrong, Dyson Daniels, they're all kind of the same type of player, as you say.
Yeah. That was interesting story, the possibly from the Australian football. Yeah, I don't have such sight. But yeah, that was great. And I think that recently the nowadays basketball players need to do a lot of things. In the 5 years, it is 10 years ago or something like that, we have Ryan Brokov, and also we also still have the Chris Golding. They are the special shooter, but they can shoot, but the other side of the thing, when you want, if you want to be an NBA player, you have to be a player who can do the everything. The dribble, pass, shoot, rebound, and you also have the size or something like that. So that's why I think that recently it is very difficult to improve the every skill set, I think, when you if you think you want to be an NBA player.
Yeah, you can't just be good at one thing anymore, can you? It's it must be a lot harder for players that are trying to get to the NBA, because as you say, they have to, or they feel like they have to be able to do everything. So even young centers have to work on their shooting, where previously, you know, they could really just focus on defending and finishing at the basket. So yeah, it's been interesting to see how how player development has changed and how it has sort of meant that there are less players who are just shooters, as you say. Guy like Chris Golding, he is one of the best shooters in the world, but at the World Cup he still hardly played. So I think that says about where it's at the moment. So whether the Boomers look to get some more of those shooters in for the next World Cup or whether they keep on prioritising players who can do a little bit of everything will be interesting. But yeah, there are definitely a lot less of those players making it to the NBA now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope to Delhi to be one of the best shooters in the Boomers again, I think. Yeah.
He's looking like he could be. He's shooting the ball well at the moment, so I wouldn't be too surprised. Yeah.
I hope him to continue that quality of the play.
Fingers crossed for the whole season.
That's right. I just worry about the injury about him. He always tried to do his best and try to dive to the court hard and try to the best things about the defensive end, offensive end, the both end. He always have a risk to get the injury. So that is
he maybe tries too hard sometimes.
That's right. Okay. And I think that this is the last one from the Mikere-san. He's also one of my best friends. And he's a huge fan of the Grizzlies, Memphis Grizzlies.
Ah, yes. Yes. Yep. They're a good fun team.
Hi, this is Mikere. There are some players who once played in NBL and in Japanese League these days, like Nikkei and Big Glow. And I'm not sure you watch the Japanese Basketball League, but I just want to ask you who is going to be the next one. And if you have time to answer it, I want to know who will take the biggest leap this season in NBL. And thank you for always making great episodes. Okay, he want to ask you about do you think the another Australian players to go into the B League?
Yeah, I think there could be a lot more players going from somewhere like the NBL to the B League in the future because the B League's improving so quickly. I haven't watched much of it, but the quality of players that are going there is going up so quickly, and there's more money for those players as well. So it seems going to keep on increasing and increasing very quickly. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see more players go there, and really good players too. Nick Kay, when he left to go to Japan, was one of the most sought after free agents in the NBL. He was one of the biggest names that everyone was trying to sign. My local team in Tasmania was trying to sign him as their marquee player in their first season, and he still chose to go to Japan. So I think that says a lot about the way that the B League is going and the way that it could continue to go. So it's hard to say exactly who might be those next players to make that move, but I don't think it's I don't think you could rule anyone out. I think even the biggest names in the NBL would have to look at it as an option because it's just growing so quickly and becoming such a good place to play, especially when someone like Nick Kay stays there for multiple years and speaks so highly of it. It really seems like a good option for them. And then looking at the second part of that question, who will take the biggest leap this season in the NBL? That's good timing because I just earlier this week for the pick and roll talked about my award predictions, which had most improved player in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So most improved player, it was a hard one to pick, but I think I had a Jalen Galloway for the Sydney Kings. He's kind of like a Vic Law in terms of the style of player that he is. He's a lot younger, but a very athletic, can shoot the ball, can play as a forward, but also make plays off the dribble as well. So I think the Sydney Kings are going to be a good team again this year, but they've had a lot of change from last season. So someone like him can maybe take a big step forwards and improve really quickly for them. But it's good in the NBL this year. There's a lot of young players who look like they're going to get a lot of opportunities. So a lot of them haven't been in the league before, but guys like Galloway, his brother as well, Kyron Galloway for Adelaide, young Australians like Isaac White, who's gone to Brisbane. It's a really exciting time to be a young player in the NBL because they're being surrounded by very talented players, and I think that'll help a lot of them improve very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about the first one that you said about the salary of the big league, I have heard the salary of the NBL is so cheap. I have heard. Why does it happen? I think that
I'm
that
not
was
sure.
That was the one NBL of the team... reasons the player to come to Japan recently, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. The NBL, they still don't publicly announce how much anyone gets paid.
Yeah.
Which makes it hard to know exactly, but there seems to be a lot more money elsewhere in the league. Oh, sorry, elsewhere in the world. Japan, is one example, and teams in Europe, even though the NBL is now a similar quality of basketball, teams in Europe have a lot more money to spend. And it's hard to know exactly why, because the NBL has become a lot more popular over the last 10 years or so in Australia, and more sponsors have come in to the league as well. And there's definitely more money than there was not too long ago in the league in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in Europe, basketball's become, has been around for so long and has been so popular that it's just expected that that money will be, will be spent. And the B-League just seems to be growing even more quickly than the NBL. So I'm not sure where the money there comes from, but people seem to be willing to invest a lot more quickly than they are in Australia. So I think in that case, the B-League's going to take a lot more players from the NBL, and it's a good thing for basketball globally, because the more these talented players are spread out, the more countries will become better national teams as well.
Yeah. But recently the NBL shows the great place to advance to the NBA, like they have a lot of the NBA players after the NBL, like Josh Giddey and LaMelo Ball, and of course the Matthew Dellavedova as well. And I think the NBA is going to be a great place for the young players who want to be an NBA player.
Yeah, I think there's the Next Stars program in the NBA which signs players trying to get to the NBA through the draft. There's, I think, 8 players signed in that this season, and someone like Alex Saar, who could potentially be the number one pick in the draft. He's from France. And Ariel Hakporti for Melbourne playing with Delhi, that would be a really good combination. And some of these other young players, they seem to have a lot of faith in the NBL as a path to the NBA now, after seeing players like Giddey and LaMelo Ball come to Australia and then go on and be very good NBA players. So, the money might not match what they would get in Europe, but I think they all recognize that the NBL is a good place to go to try and get to the NBA, because of the style of play is very similar, and the coaching is very good as well. So it'll be interesting to see if the money does catch up to that reputation at some point, because you'd think it should line up a little bit better sometime in the future.
Yeah. Also, I'm so happy. On the other hand, we can watch the full game of the NBL on YouTube free it doesn't happen in Japan and of course NBA. So the sometimes the yeah it is great to have it is great to be able to watch the NBA game easily, but sometimes I want to pay them to be a more the huge market, to be a more huge market and try to support the players by the more salary. So the yeah. Recently, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I did see today that I think the games used to be available in the United States on YouTube as well, but But now they've signed a big deal with ESPN, so hopefully that's the first step to getting some more of that money into the league and to the players and bump up the salary cap because a lot of people want to play in Australia, I think, but. You have to go after where the money is sometimes and take as much as you can. So yeah, hopefully it can get onto the same level as places in Europe and get those kinds of players.
Mm-hmm. Which team do you think get a champion in this season? We have to read your article, I think, in the pick and roll.
I didn't actually say who I thought would win the championship there, so this is good. We can cover this here. like I said, I think it's going to be very close this year. There's probably three teams that I think are the three best teams, which is I think Melbourne United have the best Australian talent and local players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have a lot of depth there that will help them. I think the Perth Wildcats will be one of the best teams. They have Bryce Cotton, who's still the best player in the league, and they've got some good players around him this season. So I think they'll be a lot better than they were last year, where they struggled. And I think New Zealand, who were runners-up last year, I think they'll be very good again this year. So if I had to take a guess right now, I think I would say that New Zealand would be my pick for the championship. But having said that, it's going to be a really close season, and I think I wouldn't be surprised to see any of maybe six or seven teams win the title at the end of the year. So it should be a lot of fun to watch. And I have to say, just checking the scores now, Melbourne United have had a big win tonight in their first game, so maybe they should be the favourites.
How many points did the Derry score?
That's a good question. he finished with 17, which he had at halftime, so he slowed down a little bit. But that's not a bad start to the season, though, still. First game.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. 17 is so much for Derry's fans, I think.
He's not normally been a scorer, so that's we'd probably take that as a win in the last few seasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have finished all of the schedule, I think. Sorry, it takes almost 2 hours, but
no worries. It's always fun to talk about basketball, so I'm always happy to.
I have another question. One question. I'm also a huge fan of the Jack White. How do you feel about him?
Yes.
I think that this tournament is a little bit tough for him. He was a 12th player in the Boomer squad, and he has a great performance against the practice game against France and also against Finland. But he lost the opportunity after the Germany's game, and also he didn't play a lot against Slovenia. So yeah, we have seen the good side and also the bad side of Jack White. So how do you think about his future?
I really like Jack White. I think he's very good, and I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA now that he's there for quite a long time. I could see why he didn't play much for the Boomers, just because of the way they wanted to switch on defense, and he was, you know, not quite big enough to guard centers and not quite mobile enough to guard on the perimeter. But I think that there's a role for him there, with the way that he can rebound and protect the rim and shoot really well. If he can keep on shooting the ball well from three, I think there should be minutes for him moving forward for the Boomers, because at the end of the day, he's a player who just seems to win. Everywhere he goes, he seems to do things that help teams win. So I think Brian Gorgian moving forward will be able to find a way to use him, because he does a lot of the things that Gorgian wants, in that he works really hard and he defends and he can make shots. So I really hope that he can make it to Paris and play some meaningful minutes for the Boomers, because I do think that he's a winning player and he's someone that could be useful for this team, given how much they struggled to shoot and to defend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we are looking forward to seeing him in the Oklahoma City Thunder as a teammate of Josh Giddey. Yeah, he got a normal contract, I think, with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, yeah, I'm so looking forward to seeing him in NBA another season.
Yeah, it should be good to watch. And that might help him when it comes time to pick the Boomers squad as well, because if he's used to playing with Josh Giddey, the coaches could look at that and say, well, he's someone that we need to have, because he's familiar with how to play alongside Giddey and where to be and what he does.
That's right,
so
that's right. Yeah.
I think it'll be good to watch him in the NBA season, and then it could help moving forward as well.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. And I was so glad to chat with you. It is very difficult to talk about the Boomers deeply in Japan with my friend. Yeah, there I have a lot of the fans of the NBA, but they're not good at Australian basketball, so it was quite a happy time for me. Yeah, so thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. It's for a long time there, my friends where I'm from, before we had an NBL team here, none of them followed the NBL or knew anything about it. So I was a bit the same. I was always happy to talk to someone about the NBL and about basketball. So yeah, it's always a lot of fun to talk in detail and go into all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. For near future, do you have another next goal as a basketball writer of the pick and roll?
Nothing in particular, honestly. Just sort of keep chipping away, keep covering the NBL and watching, hopefully, as the league gets better. But I would love to get back to a World Cup or an Olympics and cover a tournament like that again, because it was one of the best things I've done. I think it was some of the most fun I've had. So hopefully I'll get back to watch the Boomers again.
Yeah, that's so great. I think the Paris Olympic game is too expensive for me, so I'm going to save money for the next World Cup, and I'm doing the best to see you again in the World Cup in the 4 years after.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm the same. Paris is too expensive, and it's too soon after this World Cup for me to be able to afford it.
Yeah.
So, might have to be the next one. Hopefully, we'll both be there.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Always I've read your article and always support from Japan. And I'll try to advertise the article in Japan as well. So, please keep well and... I just want to say support you from Japan, and let's keep in touch.
Definitely, yeah. And thank you again for the gift when I was in Japan. It's on my desk now.
Next
to my computer at work, so it's good.
I will give you another one, another.
Perfect.
With the deli in the next year, hope so. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. No, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Okay, so thank you so much. And I'm going to watch the Delhi's game.
Yes, we'll both go and catch up on that game now.
Okay. Okay, I will stop the recording.